Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
So let's pray. Father, I just thank you, magnify you, and glorify you for 21 days of your power. God, I thank you that you bless us in the first 7 days. Now we're in the second part, the middle of the fast, We're on the 14th day, God. And I thank you that even as we have 7 days, God, we thank you for your promises, the blessings and the promises of the Lord. They are yea and amen. God, I thank you right now for every person on this line. God, we lift up that young lady that had a stroke in the name of Jesus, that teenager that had that stroke in Jacksonville, Florida. We lift her up, God. We thank you that your angels are going to the hospital with her in the name of Jesus. God, we call out her name before we start studying. God, we call out the name of Sade, Pastor Bernadette's niece. And God, we thank you for healing. We say that Sade will get the use of every side of her body in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that there will be no backlash, no repercussions, and no smoke left on her when she come out of the hospital. God, we lift up that teenager. We're in a day and time where teenagers are having strokes. God, we rebuke it, we curse it, we send it back to the pit of hell, and we thank you for the word that is nigh us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Listen, that thing is real serious about seed. Pastor Bernadette, she was really a blessing when we were doing the televisions, and she bought 10 televisions, and she said she just wanted to plant a seed. You know, she bought them and she just said she'll figure out what she'll do with them after she get them. And listen, and then her niece, teenage niece, Sade, put Sade, Sharday, put Sade on the screen. Keep praying for her. I already have a good report. We've been praying. She has symptoms of a stroke, and the update is positive. Her feeling is coming back to positive. Her body, she fell down in the shower. Y'all know this is real serious. It's a serious time to pray. And you know, I y'all know my sermon, Somaderm. You know, the human growth hormones that I had. I've been using this for my face, for everything. So I don't give these to nobody. But my friend, one of my friends, she had a birthday, and one bottle cost $145. So I gave her and my aunt, I had three bottles, and y'all know I treasure them. Now, I don't worship them, but I treasure them. There's a difference. I gave a bottle to my aunt before I went to Miami. I gave a bottle to a friend of mine who had her 80th birthday. And I was like, God, you know, I don't give up my Somaderm because I can only get it once a month. But let me tell y'all how good God is. Look, let me just show you real quick. I hope I could just turn this camera real quick. Look at what somebody brought to my, you see that right there? Somebody brought 9, 10, 11 bottles of Somaderm to my house today. So let me say this. Tell me God ain't moving. Okay. I know that may seem like something so little and so simple to you, but it's not to me. Okay. I gave two bottles and got 11. These are $145 a bottle. God is good. I'm just saying, something as simple as that mean a lot to me. But y'all ready for the word of the Lord? All right, Matthew, put Matthew 5 and 37 on the screen. Matthew 5 and 37. It says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these come out of evil. Let your communication, let your words be yea or nay. You know, when, in other words, God is saying to us that he wants us to be real. He wants us to be consistent. So let our yea be yea and let our nay be nay. So no, not in the middle, not double-minded. You know, a double-minded man can't have anything from God. So guess what? I'm practicing this. And we have to be very careful of what we say out of our mouths, even as we get ready to go into a new year. It's real serious, and it's a real serious time about your words and being consistent and sticking to what you have said. You know, 2 Corinthians, put this on the screen, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, it says, "For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen. There are promises that are not in God, but we're talking about the promises that have come unto us through God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, put it on the screen. "For all the promises of the God, they are yea and amen," talking about the promises that are in him, "unto the glory of God by us." I want to give a lot of scriptures, and then we're going to pray. We're going to be on here. We're going to get off at 1 o'clock. Those of you who are making this sacrifice on Christmas Eve to come and pray, I'm telling you, and you are fasting meat on Christmas, I'm telling you, it's not just about, you know, the sacrifice, is about the obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Psalms 107 and 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the blessings of the Lord in your life be yea and amen. Begin to speak the things that God has said. The Bible said we can speak things that are not as though they were. Y'all know when I got saved, folk had a real problem with me speaking things that were not. They was like, "Well, that ain't God. You lying." No, I'm not lying. I was believing God. I remember I was in a Mother's Day service, and I was believing God for a baby girl. I only had boys at the time. As a matter of fact, I had one boy at the time and my nephew who I was helping to raise. But I only had boys in the house, and I wanted a little girl. I almost adopted a little girl in Germany. And God told me, "You are pregnant." And I was in that service, and they said that the youngest mother in here, and I stood up. And it was like, "You're not pregnant." I was like, "Oh, yeah, God told me I just got pregnant." And can I tell you, with the birth date of my daughter and the time of that service, I was pregnant. I spoke things that were not as though they were. I stood on what I knew that God had said. See, a lot of problems that we go through come from the fact that people are not being upfront, are being straight. And so I want to give you some scriptures that will confirm, and we're going to pray about letting, we can't focus on nobody else and judge nobody else. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. Some folk, you're going to get some deliverance tonight. You have a hard time telling people no. I want you to put it on the screen right now. No. Guess what? I'm getting some deliverance now. I have a hard time sometimes. I struggle with the no. I don't have a problem saying yes, but let your yes be yes, let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay, let your no be no. Come on, if you're walking with me with this, put no on the screen. You're going to have to, if you're going to go to this next level in God, you're going to have to begin to tell some people no. Don't make no excuses for it. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't try to shortcut it. Let your no be no. We don't have that much of a problem letting your yea be yea. But how many of you, Veronica Jane said, no. I think you do that all the time. Let your no be no. Just like your yea is yea, let your no be no. Because the promises of God, they are yes and amen. God is real. God is consistent. God is. Can you put that on the screen? God is real. God is consistent. God is. Just remember those three things. God is real. God is consistent. God is. And you know what? We're made in the image of God. And I believe God wants us to be real, God wants us to be consistent, and God wants us to know who we are in him, because God is real. God is consistent, and God is, why do I say God is? Fill in the blank, you know, fill in the blank. God is whatever you need him to be, and we need to know who we are in God. You don't need to know who you are in your profession. I'm saying you do, but to get to the root, we need to know who we are in the Holy Ghost. That's the root thing that we need in our life. Who I am in the Holy Ghost overrides who I am as an elected official, overrides who I am as a mother. It overrides who I am as a preacher. You know, because I'm a preacher, we're talking about in the spirit realm. Who are you? You are a spirit. You live in a body and you possess a soul. And so we're going to make some decrees and some declarations tonight, because God is looking for somebody that's real. Listen, fake people can make you so miserable. I'm asking God not to just help me to be real, but take everybody out of my life that's not real. You know, take the Judases out. Take the double-minded people out. Take the wishy-washy people out. Take the people that commit and can't be consistent with their commitments. God, move them. Listen, in the book of Genesis, write Genesis 4 and 7 on the screen. Genesis 4 and 7. Anybody realizing that if we just be who we are, you can't be depressed when you... You know, right now, the holiday season, a lot of people are depressed. A lot of people are disappointed. You know, this is the time of the year when the enemy want to put everything on you at the end of the year, bring doubt, bring gloom, bring doom. But if you are real with yourself, and if you get real with God, and if you get real with other people, there'll be no more struggle. Come on, put that on the screen. I need y'all to participate with me, because you know, other people come on and they watch these lives, and I need you to put no more struggle. No more struggle. See, because when I'm real, I have problems. I have concerns. I have situations in my life. But we'll be like Timex. We'll take a licking, keep right on ticking. It will be like water coming off of a duck's back. Listen, we get hard. We get hit hard. But the harder we get hit, the stronger we get. Okay, the harder we get hit, the stronger. Y'all might want to put that on the screen. The harder we get hit, the stronger we get. That sounds like a rap. But in Genesis 4 and 7, God told Cain in the 6th verse, talking about the story of Cain and Abel in the Bible, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? In other words, what you so mad about? What you so upset about? Why you so bitter? What's wrong with you? You know, God came to Cain. You know, Cain and Abel offered an offering. And the Bible says that Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's offering was not. I don't want to get into the part about the offering. I want to get into the part about it being accepted. You know, in other words, Cain gave God what he wanted. I talked about that last week. He gave God what he wanted to give God. And when you're giving God an offering, when you're making a sacrifice unto to the Lord, you just can't give God what you want to give him, because you know your flesh is always, if you're hearing two amounts, it's God is always saying the higher amount and the devil is telling you to give less. The devil is telling you to give less because the enemy knows that if you ever get a hold of the principle of giving, a lot of people, you know, when they have a need, they try to cut the, hey, how you doing, Gabriel Torres? How you doing? When they have a need, they try to cut corners and do the shortcut and get as much as they can. But I'm telling you, when you got a need, you need to plant a seed, you know, plant a seed. This is the season to plant seeds. And I'm telling you, God blew my mind with that 11 boxes. I know you say now she's just talking about human growth hormones. Yeah, I'm talking about whatever it is that you believe in God for, whatever it is that's important for you. God wants to show up and just a confirmation. You know, it may not be about the human growth hormones. It may not be about the Somaderm. It may be that little seed that will help you know that God is hearing your prayers, and God is concerned with the simplest things in our lives. And God so wants to Kim to be Kim, and he wants Linda Jones to be Linda Jones, and he wants Deanna to be Deanna, and Angela Renee, you got to be Renee. It's real hard being somebody else. You know, a lot of people, they struggle in their calling, and they struggle in what they're called to do because they're not confident in who God has called them to be. But I'm here to tell you tonight that after we get off this live, there's going to be a security. There's going to be a confidence that'll be released, that we don't have to fake it till we make it. We can be real before God, and more than anything, real in your heart. You know, it's got to be a miserable thing to know that you're not real. Cause you guess what? A hypocrite, they know who they are, because the spirit of the hypocrite, it stems from the heart. And when your heart ain't right, you live a miserable life. Y'all heard the saying, misery loves company. So as we are going into 2021, as we're in the 14th day of this fast, I just want to talk about keeping it real. Okay. Keeping it real. God told Cain, why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? What you so mad about? He said these words, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? He said, if you do right, if you do well, you don't have anything to worry about. And if thou doest not well, sin is at the door. Listen, James 4:7, put that on the screen. James 4:7, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, here we go, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And guess what? We know. You know, we don't have to struggle with what God is telling. I'm talking about simple everything. Some things you just know what is right, and you know what is wrong. And the Bible said, to those who know to do good and don't do it, you are sinning. So as we are presenting us, this is my favorite scripture, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. It's the least thing you can do. In other words, let's present ourselves unto God. In other words, when you're presenting, you can't fake with God. God, no. That's why I have to say, God, look, I ain't feeling this, you know, God, you're going to have to help me with this. You know, sometimes we act like we float around on water and that we don't go through nothing. These are the people that crash when you try to present yourself as something you're not. But the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's a word we keep hearing tonight. Acceptable before God. It says, so that you would know the good will. Here we go, that word again. Wow. Acceptable will and the perfect will of God. Put that on the screen. The good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. We keep hearing that word acceptable. You know, the Bible says that Cain's offering was not accepted. Let's talk about the good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will. Y'all put good, acceptable, and perfect. It's more than one kind. You know, the will of God is broken up. You know, God gave us levels of the will of God. It's just not, I'm in the will of God. I know y'all listening to me right now, because everybody wants to know the will of God. But to know the will of God, you got to break it down. The good will, two word, the acceptable will, and the perfect will. Okay, I'm going to give you the Greek words. This is in the New Testament, the presenting your body a living sacrifice. This ain't in my notes. Y'all know when I start flowing outside of my notes, grab a hold of it, because God is pouring some stuff out. The good will, I hope I can remember these Greek words, is agathos. I need you to put it on the screen. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. The agathos. The good will. The good will is the A-G-A-T-H-O-S. The agathos of God. The acceptable will, all right? Acceptable will is the eurestos. That's E-U-R-E-S-T-O-S. The eurestos, all right? The perfect will, and I'm going to break these down, is the telios, T-E-L-I-O-S. The good will, the acceptable will, the perfect will of God, the agathos, the arestos, and the telios. Okay, let me break it down. Starting with the goodwill. Everybody's talking about goodwill around the Christmas time and the holiday, but we're talking about a little something different. The goodwill is the agathos is when you're there by faith. We're talking about the will of God. The will of God, you don't know, you don't have a clue, but you're there by faith. And that's simply, I'm in the goodwill of God. I am here, by faith. I don't understand. I don't have a clue, but I believe God. Okay, that's the agathos. The eurestos is the second step of the perfect will of God. And we're talking about being real and keeping it real. We got to understand the will. To keep it real, you got to understand the will of God. The eurestos are the acceptable will of God. It's when you start getting a clue of what's going on. God is giving you a confirmation out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Things are being established. God is confirming himself to you. That's the acceptable will. The eurestos, first the agathos. I'm just here. I don't know nothing. I'm just showing up. I'm just here by faith. The eurestos, I just got a confirmation here. God is showing me something here. I got a clue that I'm on the right track. The telios. T-E-L-I-O-S is smack dab in the perfect will of God. Be careful of people who always say they know it. I know what God got for me. And I know. No, that thing, you have to walk it out. You walk out your salvation in fear and trembling. If you are overconfident in anything, in any relationship, in any business transaction, and anything that God is calling you to do, if you're overconfident, you will crash. So remember, the goodwill, the acceptable will, smack dab in the telios, the perfect will of God. That's when I know that I know that I know that I'm in the will of God. Listen, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, it is a sin. The bottom line is that we need to do what we know to do right, and we need to do what we say we're going to do. Keep our word. Listen, this came to me. This word came to me out of a circumstance. We were giving turkeys out in the community, the shops of Sherwood. And at the end of the night, there was an elderly man. I think he caught the bus up there the first day. He caught the bus. He came out and he said, and I think we had ran out of turkeys, but I had a turkey that I was supposed to take to somebody. And he said, I came up here. I caught the bus. Y'all don't have... So I said, okay, I'm going to give this. It's an elderly white man. He came. I gave him a turkey. The next time we were up there, we were doing televisions. And we didn't have, and the first time I promised him, he said there was a house of people that had some special needs. They wanted hams. So I said, oh, it's eight of you. I'll bring you some hams. I told the man this. So the next time we're up there with televisions, I see the man coming because he walked real slow. Like with a limp or something. And I see him coming down, and a person with me said, that man is going to come and he's going to ask what y'all giving out. All we had was some pizza. Now y'all, I'm going here for a reason. We had a half a pizza. And I said, I met him halfway and he said, y'all giving out pizza? I said, yes, we giving out pizza. You came just in time to get yours. But guess what that man reminded me of? He said, I thought you said you was going to bring us those hams. And so I started kind of thinking, like, y'all go ahead and hit those hours. Now, he bringing to my remembrance what I promised, what I gave my word. And I thought about it, and I really had forgotten. I said, oh, yeah, I did tell you I was going to bring some ham. And then he reminded me, aren't you that lady that's always running for office? I said, yes, I'm that lady. In other words, he was connecting my position with what I had promised, because I'm telling you, unto whom much is given, much is required. You know, I'm not saying that just because you got a position, you're more important than anybody, but people are looking at us. People are watching us. And guess what? You got to let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. If there, and I'm going to break that down a little bit. You got to do what you say you will do and keep your word. Now, this is what I don't believe in. My word is my bond. Not with a spirit-led believer, because you may have said something that is that you got to recant or repent or, you know, and then you need to explain that. Don't make it a habit of doing it. But my word is not God's word. Now, I don't go around haphazardly saying stuff, but God's word is my bond. And unless you promise something that you can't, that you have to repent on and go the other way, you need to keep your word. And so I actually have those 8 hams, and tomorrow, either on Christmas or I got the address or the day after that, I'm going to be taking those hams, because that man will not see me again. Say, ain't you that lady be running for office? You told me. See, I didn't have to tell him that I was going to bring those hams. But guess what? I got those hams in my freezer now, and I'm going to take those hams. We could just make life a little better if we just do what we say we're going to do. You know, when we talk to our children, we need to do what we say we're going to do. Our children are watching us when we say we're going to do something and we just double-minded. A double-minded man can't have anything from God. When you're an elected official, when you're a leader at your company, do what you said you're going to do. Keep your word. Make your word hold so much weight in the spirit so that when you speak it, people say, oh yeah, I know if she told me, she's going to, you know, keep. And you know what keeps it real? That if something happens, I'm going to tell you what's really bothering when people, I don't lend money, but when people borrow money from people and then they kind of act like they forgot. You know, some folk will come and say, hey, I have fell on some hard times or what. But some folk, they just try to pretend that and forget, like you don't. And they'll even come back and ask you for some money again. Listen, that's the kind of stuff that we want God to just get out of our spirits. Let our integrity, you know, the integrity of a thing is the strength of a thing. And when we have integrity, when we keep our word, when we do what we say we're going to do, I'm telling you, it will stop a whole lot of problems. And the key is spiritual folk, those of you who saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, we got to be more than spirit filled. Now, I want you to put this, we can't just be spirit filled, we got to be spirit led. All right? Hit those hearts for that. You can't just be spirit filled with the shotobo shekelebo kondrasa. You know, that's the evidence. Yeah, but the real evidence, not just speaking in tongue, but the real evidence of being spirit filled, you could put this on the screen, showing up, is being spirit led. Okay, because those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Happy birthday, Mother Scruggs and Victoria. I had to stop it because I know this is Mother Scruggs and Victoria. You had a happy birthday on the 24th of December. God bless you. I see you on there. Yeah, I said you just can't be spirit filled. You got to be spirit led. What's a biblical example that you can be religious and get in trouble? When God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, when Abraham put that boy up on that altar, when God put the knife in the air, God said, stop, I'm taking you in another direction. Some folk would have been spirit led. You'd have been praying in tongues so hard, God couldn't, you can't even hear God. He said, stop being spirit led. You see, somebody that was religious, they would have killed Isaac. God told me, you ain't going to tell me. Satan, I rebuke you. I know the Lord told me, but those who are the sons of God, they're not just filled with the Holy Spirit. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, but they are led by the Spirit of God. And when you're spirit led, you know how to shift. When you're spirit led, you know how to shift. And some folk, they try to, oh, I thought you said you go. I say, baby, God is going in another direction. When you are spirit led, you know, we were going to do this, but God is shifting. You know, when God was taking the children of Israel out of the wilderness, the Bible says he led them a cloud by day and a fire by night. But there came a time when the enemy got so close to them, y'all heard me say this recently, that God shifted And God, and it's in the times when it seems like God is not with you or he's not close to you, it's because he got your back. I think I just said this last week. The Spirit of God shifted, and the people had to move forward. What? By faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. But sometimes God has to shift and get behind you and get between you and your enemies. So I thank God for spirit-filled and spirit-led believers, all right? Luke, the 12th chapter, the 48th verse says, unto whom much is given, much will be required. We are held responsible when God blesses us with talent, with wealth, with knowledge. God ain't just giving us stuff, talent and wealth and knowledge just to blow up, you know, just to have it. It's expected to be used to benefit other people. In other words, we are blessed to be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. And I'm telling you, it's better to give than to receive. And it is a blessing to keep it real. Romans 12:9. Put Romans 12:9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Cling to, abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Listen, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without. Now, when I came into church, y'all know I came straight for the world. And when somebody was fake, it was very real to me. Okay, fake can be very real. Okay, well, because when you are fake, you just stick out like a sore thumb. And some folk, they can hug you and hate you. They can kiss you and cut you. Don't hug me and hate me and kiss me and cut me. You know, the Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Genesis 15:6. Y'all know time is running out. Abraham believed the Lord, and God considered his response of faith as proof of genuine loyalty. Come on, put that on the screen. Proof of genuine loyalty. The Bible says Abraham simply believed God. You know, when you ain't got nothing else, you got the word on the inside of you, just, I believe God. Well, it looks like that's never going to happen. Listen, but God... One of my sisters in the Lord called me, and she said, God is delivering us from being stuck in a rut. We will not be stuck in 2021. We will not have vision that will not come to pass. If you see it, the Bible says, as far as you can see it, told Abraham, you can have it. And I'm telling you, you can see it and you can have it. And the Bible says, Abraham believed the Lord. And God considered his response of faith was proof of genuine loyalty. In other words, when we believe God, we are loyal to God. Amen. Psalms 35:13 says that any that are sick, it says humbling yourself with fasting and genuine prayer will heal the sick. Fasting and humbling yourself with fasting and genuine prayer. So if the Bible takes the time to talk about genuine prayer, then there could be some fake prayers. Oh, yes. Let me put that on the screen. Kakos, K-A-K-O-S. That's the Greek word. Kakos. It says, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kakos, K-A, put on the screen. K-A-K-O-S. Okay. And it talked about how you have not because you ask not because you pray amiss. Folks so busy focusing on have not and ask not. But let's look at the word amiss. Praying amiss is kakos, K-A-K-O-S. And it means evil prayers. You know, prayers that are not genuine, prayers that are not heartfelt. It is considered evil. Kakos. You know, you have not because you ask not because you're praying amiss. You know, you're praying fake. You're praying evil. I mean, wow, it even relates fake to being evil. Proverbs 11 and 18 says the wicked person, we're talking about being real. We're talking about genuineness of our faith. The wicked person earns deceitful wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a genuine reward. Okay, write this on the screen. Put these scriptures down. You just got Proverbs 35 and 13 said, put that on the screen. Proverbs 35 and 13 talks about humbling ourselves with fasting and genuine prayer. Listen, it don't do you no good to fast if you're going to pray some prayers that, you know, that are not real from your heart, that are not heartfelt, that are not like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They just prayed prayers to impress people. They spoke words of eloquence. You know, when they prayed, they wanted people to say, oh my God, listen to her tongues. Oh, he knows the scripture. No, God wants us to pray real, genuine, heartfelt prayers. That's why sometimes Jesus said we have to come to him as babies, come to him as little children, not coming to God so deep. You know, Proverbs 11 and 18 said a wicked person earns deceitful wages, but the ones who sows righteousness reaps a genuine reward. John 1 and 9, put it on the screen, talks about genuine money. John 1 and 9 talks about genuine money. John, and then in the Bible, it talks about genuine money. It talks about genuine light. There's genuine money. There's genuine light. John 4 and 23, here we go. It said, but a time is coming and it's already here. A time is coming and it's already here. That the true worshiper, put true worshiper, we talking about a real genuine worshiper. A true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We talking about worship from the heart, heartfelt worshiper, you know, a true worshiper. John 4 and 23, God is looking for some folk that'll worship him for real. I'm telling you, I started out and some folks say, well, I don't feel, worship ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. Whatever you're going through, you just start worshiping God. Come on, I just want you to just take some time right now. We're talking about a real worshiper. You know, just start worshiping God and the Holy Spirit will take over. You know, your flesh going to get in the way. You know, folk be, you know, try to be all deep with those upside down front. You know how folk try to be deep in the upside down front. That ain't going to get it. God wants us to be, you know, not so deep to where we'll miss him. Deep call it unto deep. But the true worshipers, you know, it's heartfelt. You worship God, you know, it's not about you being charismatic, a Pentecostal, a Baptist, a Catholic, or whatever arena you're in. It's not about that, but it is about those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen, here we go. Put John 7 and 18, and then we're going to pray and close out. It says, the one who speaks on his own seeks his own praise, but the one who seeks the praise of him who sent him is genuine, and there is nothing false in him. Talks about the one who speaks on his own self and seeking his own praise. There's a person that does that, but the one who seeks the praise of him who sent us, that's what apostolic means, sent one. You know, first apostles, proton or protos, proton believers, you know, sent ones. You know, I didn't just up and went, I've been sent. That's what it means to be apostolic. That's one of the meanings. It means to be first, but it also means to be sent. So I want to be the one who seeks the praise of the one who has sent him. Come on, apostolic people. You need to know that not only are you a sent one, but you should seek the praise of the one who has sent you. Okay. And because you do this, you are genuine and nothing is false in you. All right. 1 Corinthians 11, 19, it says, of course there must be factions. Listen, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems. I see somebody greeting me from New Mexico. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord, New Mexico. All right. 1 Corinthians 11 and 19 says, of course, there must be factions. We're going to have some divisions. We're going to have some disagreements. You know, we're going to have some trouble, you know. But this is the deal. There must be factions among you to show which of you are genuine. Trouble comes, division comes, problems come. It's not that you have the problem. It's how you handle it. You know, you got to be like time is. You got to take a licking and keep right on ticking. If you can't take a hit, you got to be able to take hits being saved. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all. And when you take a hit in your company, your business, your ministry, your family, your life, you know, it's to see who's real, who's left standing in that relationship. Any relationship, I don't care whether it's a business relationship, if it's not challenged, it's not of God. You know, if there ain't a little bit of trouble, I'm telling you, you know, if everything is hunky-dory, tiptoe through the tulips, you ain't got no challenges, whoa, watch out. The devil is around somewhere. Put 1 Corinthians 11 to 19. So some of you, oh, we keep having arguments. We have this, but of course there must be factions among you to show which one of you are real. You're going to have some concerns. You're going to have some problems. A perfect marriage don't even exist. A perfect business does not exist. Perfect relationships, friendships, even your friendships, if they're not challenged, they're not of God. Y'all write that one down, 1 Corinthians 11, 19. Philippians 2 and 20, it talks of having a genuine interest in the welfare of others. You know, some folk, they just do stuff to be seen, and some folk just do stuff because they feel like they need to do stuff. But when you really do something, you know, some folk just do stuff just for advertisement or to get themselves out there or to make themselves popular. But Philippians 2 and 20 should be our scripture on why we serve. It talks of having a genuine interest in the welfare of others. Philippians 2 and 20. Hallelujah, God. Let me have a genuine interest in the welfare of others. We almost finished and we're going to pray. James 1 and 12. Put it on the screen. I don't think we got that many people on here tonight. I can't see. But for those of you who are on there, I need you to participate and help me to minister by putting those scriptures on the screen. James 1 and 12. It says, happy is the one who endures testing. Put that on the screen. Endure testing. Happy is the one who endures testing because when he has proven to be genuine, the crown of life that God promised to those who love him. So happy is the one who endures testing. You feel good when you come out of a test. Because when you come out of a test, you know, like, you know, the Bible talks about how gold is tried by fire. Anything that's not real, gold, real gold, is tried by fire. If it's not real, it's going to burn up. The tin is going to burn up. The other stuff that's not real, the real whatever is going in there, it's going to burn up. But that which is not real, I'm telling you, it's gonna when it start burning, you'll be able to tell the difference, because when it's finished, a diamond, you know, goes through a lot of beating and a lot of stuff to become that beautiful diamond that it goes through. So put this on the screen. We go through to grow through. We go through to grow through. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says the genuineness of faith is more valuable than gold. The genuineness of faith is more valuable than gold. And our faith will be tried by fire. 3 John 1 and 8 says, therefore, we ought to support such people so we can become genuine helpers. Wow. Come on, pastors and leaders and business owners and business owners. I see you say a pearl goes through a lot too. Business owners, armor, people with armor bearers, assistants. You know, put 3 John 1 and 8 on the screen. It says, therefore, we ought to support such people so we can become genuine helpers. Put that up there. Genuine. We need some genuine helpers. Folk that's in it because they real. We need help from people. You know, not folk just helping and hating. Listen, put that. No helping and hating. but genuine helpers. People that are not genuine helpers, they help and hate. All right? Last scripture. Somebody tell me what time it is. It's time for us to almost get out of here. Tell me what time it is and we're going to pray. Revelations 21 and 5. Put that on the screen. Revelations 21 and 5. I gave y'all some stuff to study on for the rest of this week. Revelations 21 and 5. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true, accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy." Put that on the screen. Accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. For these words are faithful and true, accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. I am making all things new. Right, for these words are faithful and true, accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy. That's Revelations 21 and 5. Y'all know when we come on New Year's Eve, and guess what? We're going to pray, and then we're going to have a Holy Ghost party. We're going to pray for 1 hour on New Year's Eve, and after that, we're going to have a virtual Holy Ghost party. I'm going to post it. Yep, we're going to turn the house into a virtual Holy Ghost party place. I mean, it's going to be nice. My sister's going to hook it up. So you guys join me on New Year's Eve. We're going to close out our 21-day prayer, and then we're going to have a Holy Ghost party. And the prayer time will be dedicated to the names of God. We're going to call on the names of God. And so I'm going to put up the time that we're going to come on for prayer. I think we're going to come on 10:45 or something like that, but I'm going to listen. Y'all be watching my Facebook live to see when we'll come on. So did somebody tell me what time it is? It's 12:40. We still got a little bit of time. It's 12:40. Hallelujah. Amen. I may take off from work. I want y'all to go ahead and put some prayer requests up there right now. We getting ready to pray. Yes, we're going to have a Holy Ghost party. We are going to ain't no party. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Ain't no party. Come on, y'all. We're going to have a Holy Ghost party. Okay, I'm going to have a DJ. I'm trying, if anybody know where John the Baptist at, tell him I'm trying to get him here and pay him to come do my New Year's Eve virtual. Anybody in Georgia, in Atlanta, I'm trying to catch up with John the Baptist. I can't find him. So, an unspoken request. Y'all go ahead and put your prayer requests on your screens, on the screens. Yeah, that's right. Put your prayer requests. I'm going to be going through them. That's what I'm going to be spending my day. I already cooked my macaroni and my baked beans, and I'll be with the twins tomorrow, but I'm going to be going through your prayer requests, because you know what? It's my pleasure doing that. I get a kick out of praying. Yep. I really love seeing the prayer requests of my partners and friends and praying. Yes, we need to bring New Year in if you're scared. Yes. You know what? I'm going to get, if John the Baptist don't come, I'm going to get that music, because he got some music and I really want to, and y'all, I know I ain't going to have the kids, you know, they're not going to be with me. They're somewhere else on New Year's Eve, but I wish I could patch them in. Prayer request for my brother to be released. Okay, Karen, we got that. All right. Come on, y'all. Put all those prayer requests up. Father, we bless you and glorify you and magnify you. God, we thank you right now for the watchmen on the walls. God, we thank you for the gap dwellers. God, we thank you for the partners. God, our family, our friends, God, our church members, in the name of Jesus. God, we lift up every prayer request as we're putting our individual petitions on the screen. God, you said to make our petitions known unto you. And we lift up the name of every person. We lift up their family members, their loved ones. God, we thank you for those who are fasting. God, we thank you for those who are standing in the gap through the fast in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Daniel fast. God, we thank you that our countenances will be brighter. And God, we thank you that you are opening doors that no man can deny. We are under the spout where the glory is coming out. God, we thank you that as we are in this 14th, just ending the 14th day of this fast, and we have 7 days to go. God, we bless you, we glorify you, and we magnify you, that as we've heard the words, we decree and declare that in our communication and in our communicating, our yea will be yea and our nay will be nay. God, I thank you that if we was to delve and fall over in anything outside of that, it will be evil. And God, I thank you for all the promises of God and the blessings of the Lord. They are yea and amen. And God, I thank you that as we are the redeemed of the Lord, we say so. We say so, God, that we are healed. We say so that we are prosperous. We say so that we have peace and joy. We say so that from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, we have the favor of God. And whatever we put our hands to the plow to do, it will prosper in the name of Jesus. And God, we just bless you and glorify you that you are real, you are consistent, and you are God. God, we just thank you right now that we renounce the curse of Cain, and we decree and declare that we will give you our best. We will give you our first. We will give you the best off of the top, God, and we'll not scrape the bottom to give you what's left in the name of Jesus. And God, you say, if we do well, our offerings will be accepted. And we thank you for the will of God in our lives. We thank you for an acceptable offering. We thank you for the good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. God, that we will know how to discern and to distinguish the levels of the will of God and where we are right now, where we've been, and where you're taking us. God, I thank you that as we know to do good, we will do it. And because if we don't do it, we'll be a sin. We renounce that spirit that will cause us to do wrong when we know to do right, and to do bad when we know to do good. God, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you that we say that your word is our bond. We decree and declare that we are spirit-filled and spirit-led people in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that we understand and have a full knowledge of the fact that unto whom much is given, much is required. God, thank you for that as we're fasting, as we're laying out before you, as we're seeking your face, as we're touching and agreeing, that we will be accountable and responsible with what you have given us so that we can give it to others. God, you have blessed us so that we can be a blessing. And we thank you for the blessings of the Lord running us down and taking us over so that we can share and so that we can be a blessing. We bind that hoarding spirit, that insecure spirit, that greedy spirit, that spirit that's afraid to release. I see some folk out there. We need to pray for you right now. I see your fists balled up real tight, and I need you to open them up. I need you to release so God can get something in your hands right now. Come on, if that's you, just open your hands up and say, God, anoint me to release. Because as I release, I can receive. I just see some folk that are holding, stressing, and trying to hold on to that last little bit. I hear the Lord say, let it go. Release that seed. Release that offering. Release whatever it is that needs to be released and stop trying to hold on to it. God, I thank you right now that when we love, we decree and declare that we will not love in hypocrisy. We will hate what is evil and we will cling to what is good. And like Abraham, God, we believe you. Come on, put that on the screen. I believe the Lord. Like Abraham, we believe you. And God, we thank you that our response of faith is proof of our genuine loyalty. God, we release genuine loyalty that just as you, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Just as you said about your servant, you bragged on him in heaven. You bragged on him to the devil. In the name of Jesus, you said, this is my faithful servant. God, we thank you that one day we'll be able to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant, in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that as we're humbling ourselves and fasting and in genuine prayer, according to your word in Psalms 35 and 13, God, I thank you that we believe that you already answered our prayers the first day that we prayed. And we thank you for the 21-day manifestation. God, I thank you that we are delivered from deceitful wages and we will reap a genuine reward in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for genuine money in our life. We thank you for genuine life, light in our lives. And God, we thank you for worship that's heartfelt, and those who worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, we don't seek our own praise, but we are thankful for as we seek you, and God, as we put you first, because you said seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, we are focusing on the one who has sent us. And God, we thank you that there's a genuineness and a realness on the inside of us that will not allow us to be fake or false, in Jesus' name. God, help us to have a genuine interest in helping others, in the name of Jesus. And let us discern the factions and the struggles and the troubles, and so that we will come out right, so that in the end, we will be the one that will be discerned to be real, in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you that as we endure testing, God, we will be proven to be genuine, because our genuineness of faith is more valuable than gold. And God, I thank you that we'll become those genuine helpers that you're calling us to be. And I thank you for the accuracy of the Lord. God, I thank you for those things which are incorruptible, and that trustworthiness is our portion. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, somebody tell me what time it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody tell me what time it is. Thank you, God. Thank you for this time together, God, as we've completed 14 days. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I see that, Sister Eloise, that your mother's in the hospital. And somebody else's mother is in the hospital. Oh, yeah, we pray for those. We pray for Terry's mother, who has pneumonia. And we pray for a healing in her supernatural intervention and healing in her body. We pray for Sister Eloise's mother. In the name of Jesus, we say that she's healed and she's whole. And we pray and prophesy, decree and declare that she will not catch COVID in that facility. God, we plead the blood over her in the name of Jesus. And we say that no weapons formed against her will prosper. She's covered with the blood, and COVID cannot cross the bloodline. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.